The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Brewers Podcast All-Star Edition is with us. What a busy Sunday for the Milwaukee Brewers. We could probably spend the entire podcast just talking about things that happened on Sunday at Miller Park, before and after and during the Brewers game, capping a very productive homestand against the Minnesota Twins and Atlanta Braves. They won 6 of 7. They played extremely well, took 3 of 4 from the Braves, which is a team that they're competing with to be near the top or at the top of the National League overall, and possibly for with the wild card implications down the line if it gets to that point. So 3 huge wins for the Brewers coming off of a sweep of the Minnesota Twins. But there's a lot more to go into than just what happened on the field. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. I am the host of the Brewers Journal Sentinel podcast. We will not be joined this week by Brewers beat reporters Tom Hodricourt and Todd Rosiak. They are off to cover the team on this final road trip before the All-Star break. Stops in Miami and Pittsburgh await the Milwaukee Brewers as they look to continue rolling. It's been a tough stretch of games. The famous 21 games in 20 days, I believe, is what it amounted to after the rainout in Pittsburgh. And still ahead of them. 8 games in 7 days with a doubleheader in Pittsburgh among the games that are remaining here. But the Brewers have handled themselves well. They had a walk-off win against the Twins on a walk-off walk to Brad Miller. We had possibly the best moment of the season so far. I would personally argue for Jesus Aguilar's 13-pitch walk-off home run. But Nate Orff, a guy who has been sort of battling a career minor leaguer. He's been an undrafted free agent, fought his way to the big leagues. Kind of became the subject of a sort of a fan push to get him to the game. Free Nate Orff was the hashtag to get him to a Major League Baseball game. He had certainly paid his dues and been productive. Gets the call to the big leagues. His first Major League hit is a home run. He gets carried out for a curtain call on the shoulders of Jesus Aguilar and Manny Pena. It's an awesome moment. Miller Park is going crazy. And then the game ends. It didn't end on a catch by Keon Broxton where he stole a home run at the wall. In a spectacular catch in the 9th inning. But that was the second out of the 9th inning. Next batter homers, so it ends up being a 3-2 win to close out the Twin Series. Thankfully, because of that catch, the Brewers still had control of that one. So again, an amazing homestand, and capped off by a 10-3 win against the Braves on Sunday. 2 home runs for Jesus Aguilar, and that is the guy we have got to talk about most. He was not among those named to the National League All-Star team. 3 Brewers were. We'll get to them in a minute. Not any huge surprises, although I was maybe a little surprised. But now Jesus Aguilar is on the final vote. He is one of 5 finalists in the National League to get the final spot on the Major League All-Star or on the National League All-Star roster. So fans are going to be voting over the next 3 to 4 days to try and get their guy, Jesus Aguilar, hugely popular player, one of the best hitters in baseball, and quite honestly, should probably be on that team. I think you could safely say that. There are a lot of guys who you think get snubbed every year, but honestly, like, what does the dude have to do? He's got 22 home runs now. He is slugging an absurd slugging percentage, one of the best slugging percentages in the history of baseball among guys who weren't named to the All-Star team at that halfway through the season. So it's kind of amazing. And so now there's a pretty big campaign afoot to get him to the All-Star game. He spoke to the media after the Brewers win over Atlanta to close the homestand, as did the 3 other guys who made the list, made the team. That's Josh Hader, Christian Yelich, and Lorenzo Cain. So I wanted to play some audio from those meet and greets with the media and get their thoughts on being in the All-Star game. So we've got some audio from all 4 of those guys. After that, I've got a lengthy interview with Eric Kratz, not an All-Star, and he'd be the first to tell you that. He's a journeyman catcher who's played for close to half of the teams in Major League Baseball, either as a major or minor leaguer. He has, speaking of guys who've paid their dues, he was got his first big league action at age 30. He's now 37. And he has struggled pretty badly lately, to be honest, but he came out of the gate firing when the team brought him on board after some injuries really required that they make a move to get a catcher off the street. And that's what they traded for Eric Kratz, ended up sending back minor leaguer Wendell Rijo in exchange. But he has done some good things in the early part of his stay with Milwaukee, even though he has struggled lately. What a crazy story he has, from the odd jobs he did in the minor leagues to the moment he heard. I know every player has a pretty good story when they heard they were getting called up. He got taken out of the AAA All-Star game in the middle of the game told that he was going to the big leagues for the first time. So it's got a cool story there. He's got all sorts of just twists and turns in his career. He talks about the best pitchers he's ever caught. I think number one might be a little bit of a surprise for you. And he has obviously been around the block quite a bit, has never had an at-bat in the postseason, played on some teams that did end up going to the postseason. So he has enjoyed in some of that success, but this could be a first for him. And with the injury to Manny Pena, he is going to be pretty valuable coming up here, especially in these last eight games before the All-Star break. So Eric Kratz coming up at the end of this podcast. I really think you'll enjoy the interview with him. He's just a well-spoken, awesome guy. Really enjoyed talking to him. But first, let's get to the All-Stars. Now, some interesting things, a little inside baseball, the way that they were revealed after the game, they give you a chance at the Brewers game to talk to the guys who've been selected for the All-Star team. They actually find out before Sunday's game whether they've been chosen or what their status is. And they didn't tell anybody in the media until after the game who was going, with the insistence that information not get out until the official selection show, which is about 2 hours away at the time everybody's finding this out. So we get to talk to the players prior to anybody really knowing. And it's sort of a reveal process, sort of unintentionally. As we're sitting in the media room at Miller Park, Josh Hader and Christian Yelich walk in, so you know they've been selected. And the door is left ajar, so we know there's a third person coming in, kind of, at least in my mind, expecting it to be Jesus Aguilar, and it was Lorenzo Cain, which is certainly deserved. He's been hugely valuable for a number of the reasons we've talked about on this podcast. Also, great article on him at The Ringer this morning, Sunday morning, when he was making his return from the disabled list. There's a really interesting breakdown of how he's become more selective as a batter, and that's really helped him out. So I encourage you to check that out. But anyway, those were the three guys, kind of an unofficial reveal process, and at that point we're told that Jesus Aguilar is also on the final vote. So it was kind of a fun way to sort of reveal it to us, and then we knew before the public knew. And not surprisingly, we kind of thought there'd be a lot of pushback from fans that Jesus Aguilar isn't part of the All-Star team, and that is the case. He's definitely put up some wacky numbers, and the only thing that maybe works against him is that he did start slow. He didn't really have his first home run or RBI until, I believe, April 17th or 18th, and so depending on when guys vote, you know, they voted several days ago, and maybe even earlier than that, maybe even a couple weeks ago when players vote. You might just not have had those numbers yet to be somebody that was a no-brainer, and certainly now that might be the case. We'll see if fans can get him in. Brewers fans have a history of success with the final vote process. They got Jeff Jenkins and Corey Hart voted in the past, so we will see how things go. He's up against some tough competition, including Max Muncy, Los Angeles Dodgers, and you know that if there's an opening, the manager for the NL team is Dave Roberts. He's going to take Max Muncy most likely because that's his guy, and Max Muncy also having a superb year. So we're going to do a deep dive on Jesus Aguilar's numbers. You should check that out on jsonline.com early in the week. We're going to talk a lot about Aguilar's candidacy over the next few days and probably more as we lead into the All-Star break coming up here in about 10 days. Let's get to the interview. First, we'll start with the three guys who found out they were selected to the National League All-Star team. Again, that's Josh Hader, Christian Yelich, Lorenzo Cain. They did a post-game press conference with the Brewers, or with the Brewers media, I should say, after the game. Here they are talking about their selection to the 2018 All-Star team.
Lorenzo, since you're the one who's done it before and you love these settings, what does this mean?
It's huge. I think it's these guys' first time. Great experience. Everyone should get a chance to go to All-Star game. You know, it's a lot of fun. Get to play with a lot of great talent. So it's going to be fun.
You know, I guess for either of the other guys, is there something you're looking forward to most? And just what does it mean to Josh and Christian to sort of get this sort of national honor?
I think I'm just looking forward to the whole experience, soaking it all in. You never know how many times you get to do that, so just going to try and enjoy it as much as you can. I've been before a fan in Anaheim. I think it was 2010, and right after I got drafted, I went and watched it. And I think it's one thing to make it to the big leagues, and it's another to make it to an All-Star game. I think it's a pretty cool honor and something that an experience that you should really appreciate and take in. So I'm really excited.
Josh, when did you start thinking that this might be possible?
Today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, Josh? You didn't think about this?
I mean, I had people tell me, but I mean, I really didn't have any clue. I mean, just happy to be here and you know, be able to play on this team and you know, be able to go with these guys. These guys, you know, just watching them play, you know, day in and day out, and how much they really do. It's a fun time to watch, and you know, about the, you know, go like Lo said, the talent that is in this game is just. It's just a blessing for sure.
For you to do it so close to home too, Josh, is that extra special?
Yeah, no, it's definitely special to be able to go back home. I mean, last year I was able to play in front of my family and friends in D.C. and be able to go back there and really get this, the All-Star game there. Words can't really describe it.
These individual accomplishments are obviously a reflection of just the overall team success in the first half. Does it mean more to you guys to obviously give that recognition individually, but to be joined by, you know, fellow teammates and what that means for the team?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys in there that could have been All-Star. I feel like there's a, you know, our team's played really well so far in the first half, and it's been a group effort. It's taken all 25 guys and then some. So there's a lot of really deserving guys in that clubhouse, and it's an honor to be up here. It's an honor to share it with these guys, and you know, hopefully we can get Aggie in there as well.
Yeah, you see someone like Jesus that two more home runs today. What's the argument that you would make for Jesus to get into the final loop?
I mean, just look at
it. Speaks for itself.
I mean, numbers. Yeah, not much you could say. I mean, what he's been doing this season is, I mean, MVP stuff right there.
Oh, it's when he comes to the plate, it's like you're nuts to, like, you know, walk away and not watch, right? Because, I mean, it just seems like he can almost hit a home run, whatever he wants. And he hits so many big ones for you guys, too, you know, to get ones that win games or break open games. And so many of them with two strikes, too. But, you know, the pitcher supposedly in command with two strikes, but somebody forgot to tell Hayes.
Yeah, he's been locked in all year for us. He's been huge for us. As I said, we were trying to get on base as much as possible. He's driving everybody in. He's hitting big homers. He's definitely winning a lot of ball games for us. So it's nice to have, you know. He's a cleanup hitter. He's doing a great job. So I'm going to go out there and continue to do what he's doing. You know, finish strong in the second half as well.
Christian, is one of the cool things about him and his story, you know, that he, you know, was maybe the last guy to make the team and they got a chance to play. And he also looks like a pretty good teammate.
Oh, he's awesome. He's a great teammate. He's got an unbelievable story, and he's taking advantage of opportunity. And it's great to see. It's easy to root for guys like that. And I think every guy in that clubhouse is really happy for him and happy that he's doing it for us, because he's a big reason why we're out where we're at. You know, his swing's so short. He's so strong that, you know, he can leave the ballpark to any part of the field on any pitch. And like Lo said, you know, our job as guys at the top of the lineup are just to get on base and set the table for him. And, you know, he's been cleaning it up, and it's been huge for us. He's been winning ball games, you know, for us by himself pretty much.
Lorenzo or Christian, any interest in the Derby?
No.
There'd be more opportunities to have the media love.
They forced me to come in here, so.
That's shocking to hear.
Yeah, I mean, he has a nice stroke size. So
brother's hitting 1,000 this year.
Either or, one of these guys can do it. I'm fine. I'll pass.
You'll send Aggie in there.
Yeah, Aggie. Yeah, Aggie.
Josh, you have a teammate in your bullpen, Jeremy, who's having an All-Star year. Obviously, only so many guys can go. Could you comment on the All-Star performance he's put up?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, just like Aggie. I mean, JJ coming out in situations that are really big, and just the way he's been able to do it day in and day out, and consistently do it. It's been fun to watch, and you know, you always root for, you know, guys like that, and you know, the bullpen's a family. You know, really, I mean, like, just like Aggie, I mean, the stats speak for itself, and what he's been doing to, you know, get out of jams for us, it's deserving for sure.
Despite the record you guys have put together this year and sitting in first place as long as we have, Brewers haven't gotten a lot of national attention, which I know some people enjoy, but does it mean something a little bit more to be representing a team that's done so well and have this many of you?
Yeah, it's nice to work in Milwaukee. It's special to be recognizing anything like this All-Star game. So, I know we got a long way to go. You know, it's still early. You know, I mean, it was July. It's still,
yeah.
I've played a few years now. I know that you got to finish strong. First half is great. You know, it's unbelievable the way we're playing right now. But at the end of the day, we got about 70-some games. We've got quite a few teams play well. Enjoy the All-Star game. But second half start, go out there and get back to work.
How did today go?
It was good. Good day. You know, I was a little rusty out there. A little out of shape, I think. Overall, good day. Winning on a few sprints out there. But overall, I got the game healthy. Got me a few at bats and kind of held my time. It gets a little off right now. But like I said, continue to play. As long as it feels good, I'll be out there.
Speaking of Josh Hader, let me go back to one of the first podcasts we did this year. I'm going to toot my own horn here. When I was hanging out with Todd Rosiak talking about the season, they were about to break camp out of spring training. Here's a little prediction that I made. I'm going to give you my bold prediction for this Brewers team, and you can tell me if if I'm off base. I think originally I was tempering my expectations for Josh Hader, to guard against the sophomore slump, but I've changed my mind on that. I think between the hair, the ability he has, he had a great spring. I think this is going to be the summer of Josh Hader. I think he's going to be an all-star, especially because baseball seems to value middle relievers or relievers who are more versatile than they have ever before, kind of in the Andrew Miller era. What do you think? Could Josh Hader be an all-star this year?
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. I think the Brewers are very excited. I think Craig Counsell is very excited about how they can use him. I've gotten emails, I've gotten tweets from people, why aren't the Brewers starting him? I think, like you mentioned, baseball is shifting to becoming more of a bullpen game. If you can get your starter to get you through five innings, if you can utilize Hader in a number of different ways. You can have him pitch two innings, you can have him pitch one inning, you can have him pitch high leverage, you can have him pitch early, you can have him pitch late. He can fill in as closer if Knebel's not available. There's a bunch of different things he can do, and you can utilize him. You don't want to overwork a guy, but, based on the way Counsell used his bullpen last year, he's going to get 70-plus appearances like Knebel did last year, like Barnes did last year. So the more times you hand him the ball, you think the better it's going to be for the team. I know he gives hitters a really scary look. He's fun to watch with the hair flying all over the place. I think he looked cooler with the goggles than without.
Yeah, it's very disappointing that he'll be wearing contacts.
Hopefully he's got the contact thing figured out. He was struggling a little bit with it earlier in camp. So I wouldn't necessarily argue with that. Maybe a little bit early, but I definitely think that Hader does have all-star potential. He's that good.
So yes, I'm a little bit of a soothsayer. I am going to go ahead and play that card, but let's move on. Next up, Jesus Aguilar. He comes in to chat with the media about the final vote process. He's going to be front and center for the Brewers ad campaign. I got to say, I'm not around a lot of other teams, but the Brewers do a crazy good job promoting causes such as this, as getting a guy in the final vote process that dates all the way back to 2003 when they managed to get Jeff Jenkins in. I believe that was the second year of the final vote process. And they really go all out. They got Corey Hart elected in there as well in 2008. That was around the time that CC Sabathia had been acquired, actually. It's about 10 years ago now, or it is exactly 10 years ago now. In fact, you should check out my story looking back at the CC Sabathia acquisition at jsonline.com 10 years ago. So that might have sort of galvanized the Brewers fan base, but the Brewers really go all out to get their guys noticed and recognized. So you can expect to see a lot of Jesus Aguilar over the next 3 to 4 days. He came in and talked about it. He's one of the great, just the great guys on this team. He's so easygoing, and you can tell really enjoys playing baseball, and he is mashing the ball. He is having a phenomenal year. He was joined by Carlos Brizuela, his translator as well, so that's the other voice you might hear in there as well, as Jesus got a couple clarifications on there. But for the most part, it's Jesus talking. You'll be able to make his words out pretty clearly. So here he is, Jesus Aguilar, talking to the media after Sunday's game against the Braves.
Jesus, did you know about this before the game, the final vote?
Jesus, oye, de tanto el juego. ¿Eh? ¿Qué hace?
Yes.
I mean, what was going through your mind as you played the game?
That's something like where I can not control, you know? That's not me. I just gotta go up there and try to do my job the right way.
When Craig Council calls you an MVP candidate at this point in the season, what's that mean to you, just against the path that you had this year?
I don't even understand, like, kind of good. I mean, it was like, just gotta keep going. I mean, all that kind of thing, like, I can't control it. You know, I just gotta go there and do my job the right way, and then we'll see when the season is over. Like, let's see what's happening.
This is kind of nothing new for you. You had to play your way out of the team last year, play your way out of the team this year, play your way in the light. Now you have to kind of wait it out and get voted out of the All-Star team. Is this kind of same old for you?
Yeah, que no me lo estaba haciendo. Tuviste que jugar duro para hacerlo este el año pasado, este año, para jugar este año. Y ahorita más o menos lo mismo para los votos, para jugar la estrella, que es algo ya normal.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, that's not on me. I say it for you now, like, it's not on me going for sure, but I can't control those things. We got a way. I passed through like a lot of time for this moment in my life, so gotta keep going.
Jesus, what's your key for hitting with two strikes?
See the ball. Try to get something high. Like, I just try to get ready early. That's how I think. I don't care what pitch he wanna throw. He like to throw. I just gotta see the ball. So I gotta see the ball, get ready early, and just try to hit the ball to his, like, middle of right field.
A lot of your teammates and coaches are wearing those We Believe in Jesus shirts. What do you think of that, and are you getting any of the proceeds?
No money.
No money.
No money.
I mean, you're getting robbed.
I mean,
yeah. I mean, I agree. Whatever they want to do positive, I'm going to agree on something good.
That means a pretty nice sign of respect to how much they like
him,
isn't it?
I feel great. You know, I mean, we're a family. We're a family. They support me. When I have to do it, I will. But I feel great.
Are you ready for the next couple of days to do lots of television and radio?
I have to. I don't really like it, but I have to do it, so let's do it. I mean, let's see what's going to happen.
You don't like it? You seem like you like it.
I'm going to go actor.
So, but I mean, you're like way better than these other four guys, right? Not gonna make a case.
No, I'm coming.
What do you say to the fans here who now will be voting for you and trying to get you on there?
We was doing something with the Twins. Yeah, I'm gonna try to support Rosario, and he's gonna do the same thing with me. So it's kind of like.
O sea, lo que quieres saber es que le quieres decir a todos los fanáticos que ahorita les toca votar por ti.
Yo
quiero
decir a los fanáticos.
¿Qué le dirías a todos los fanáticos a que voten por ti?
We believe in Jesus.
On that note.
That's simple.
Thank you. You know, one of the interesting takeaways I find is that the Brewers have three clear-cut All-Star candidates here, Yelich, Kane, and Aguilar. And Ryan Braun, who has been such a central focus for this offense for so long, is kind of an afterthought, unfortunately. And I still am a big believer that Ryan Braun can contribute pretty significantly down the stretch, but injuries have limited him this year. He has not been able, despite hitting the ball pretty hard, he's hitting a lot of bad luck. So I really think he's a better player than his numbers have shown. But he simply hasn't been able to get it going. With the injuries playing a part in that, he's back on the disabled list as of Monday morning. And we didn't even talk about all the roster moves, or I should say as of Sunday morning, all the roster moves that went into effect before that game. I mean, technically there were 8 roster moves, 4 exchanges of players, some of them very notable. Manny Pena went on the disabled list with an injury that I don't think people saw coming. It was a biceps injury. He had taken a foul ball off the knee a couple nights earlier, so I thought maybe that was going to bark at him a little bit, but he's on the disabled list. Jacob Nottingham, catching prospect who who was up earlier this year, still looking for his first major league hit. He came up earlier and is now going to be here I don't know if it's a more permanent basis, but he'll be here certainly until Pena is healthy. Interesting that he was hurt the last time the Brewers needed a catcher, and that was part of the reason why Eric Kratz joined the picture, the guy you're about to hear from next. So sort of an interesting twist of fate. But now Nottingham is back, and he is on the big league roster. Ryan Braun goes down, as we talked about. The Brewers recalled Nate Orff. He had gone down briefly after his exciting moment. A couple days ago, he had gone down, but on the 4th of July, he had such an exciting game. He's back now as well, and as far as I know, he didn't even get on a plane to get back to Colorado Springs, so he made it. And the Brewers also sent out Mike Zagurski. He was with the team for a few days, kind of a pretty good story. He hadn't played in the big leagues in a few years, but he has now been designated for assignment. The team has called up Corbin Burnes, their top pitching prospect, for the first time. He's going to be working in relief, but he will be he's going to be a big-ticket item when he makes his first appearance in a Brewers game. That's almost surely going to happen here over the next few days, especially with that doubleheader coming up. They're going to need all hands on deck in the pitching staff, so that is certainly something that's interesting. Aaron Wilkerson also sent down. He had made a start, a little bit of a rough start, although he rebounded very nicely and finished strong in his start on Saturday. The team sent him down as well. So the Brewers have sort of refashioned their roster quite a bit. That's baseball. That's the way it goes. And just a very busy day because you had the All-Star selections after the game. And the many roster moves before the game. So, but let's get to Eric Kratz. Like I said, he's got an interesting story. He's been in the minor leagues forever and been bouncing around with major league teams. He's been part of some pretty good teams. Still looking for his first postseason at bat, postseason appearance, and so many twists and turns in his journey. He's got an interesting incident with a nail gun when he was working construction that sort of came up, and I thought that was a cool story. There is talk of him doing a commercial a few years ago where he's talking to a cartoon turkey. I think you'll appreciate that, as well as some of the stories that he has from from his life, like the times he thought that he had to hang it up and sort of what happened that enabled him to keep going in baseball and ultimately make the decision that paid off down the road. So without further ado, here is Eric Kratz's long, cool conversation with the Brewers catcher. My guest is Eric Kratz, catcher for the Milwaukee Brewers. He's had a long journey through the game of baseball, been playing for a long time. And my understanding is, going all the way back to where you started, is Jamie Moyer from your hometown? Is that, so I take it, I mean, he'd already been pitching for a while when you're coming up, right? So he's already a brand name by the time you're getting into baseball.
No doubt. We went to the same elementary school, and he came in and I got his autograph for the first time when I was in second grade.
Oh, nice, okay.
So he came into our second grade class because one of his teachers was my second grade teacher. So it was one of those cool, like, kid that loves baseball and, you know, a big league pitcher comes in to your class. That's so awesome. It was really cool.
And you're the elder statesman on this team, but you have a long way to go if you're going to play as many years as he did in Major League Baseball. I think you got another decade to go, right?
Longer. I think he stayed to his 49. So, yeah, that's incredible. That's not going to happen.
No, I imagine not. Being a catcher at 49 is a little different, I suppose, than being a lefty pitcher. I heard a story when you didn't play catcher in high school until one of your teammates got kicked off the team or at least had to sit out a game for smoking a cigarette, and that's how you first got behind the plate. Is that right?
Yeah, I was a junior going into my junior year. I hadn't made the varsity team yet. So me and Michael Jordan didn't make our varsity teams.
Excellent.
Until
Eric
we were.
Kratz and Michael Jordan.
Yeah, it's a strong correlation. But they, and I was a third baseman. We had a senior who was a third baseman. And so I said, well, I'm going to go out for catcher. And I did. And in the preseason, we had two games, as much as a northern preseason you can have in a northern school. And they, Rick, I played one of those games, and the head coach was like, well, you'll catch when Neil, our shortstop, who was the shortstop at the time, is pitching, because he's going to catch, and we're going to have another player, or another guy play short. Okay. Well, right before the first game, 2 days before, he got caught for smoking on campus, which was against the rules.
And still against the rules.
And still against the rules, and probably not a good health choice.
No.
But the, so he went and got it suspended from school for a day and suspended from our first game. and I went out and hit a home run, opposite field home run, my first at bat. And I played every day after that.
Awesome. And you were the first guy from your college to get drafted, is that right? Or only guy? Are you still the only guy?
Only guy to get drafted, amazing. But second guy to make the big leagues.
Really? Who's the first?
Larry Sheets was drafted out of high school.
Okay.
Quit for a little bit and came back and played basketball. Okay. So he holds all of our basketball records. And partway through his time at our school, he ended up getting a call and went back to playing baseball, and within 2 or 3 months he was awesome. In the big leagues and had a good big league career.
Awesome. So you have spent time with 13 organizations in some way, shape, or form, minor leagues, major leagues. You know, I think that's kind of been well documented, just the journey you took to get here, made your debut at 30 in the big leagues. I know you've been asked this a lot, but at any point, what were the points where you really felt like this might be the end? You know, how many times did you really feel like you weren't going to see it through and get to the big leagues? If ever, maybe there wasn't.
No, there was definitely a lot of points. I'm trying to think of the times. You know, anytime that you're having a good year and the team goes to somebody else, pushes you aside, and that catcher, it's one of those positions. You know, outfield, you can just get shifted to another outfield position, but you know, a catcher, they bring in a higher prospect, they bring in a guy they gave a lot of money to, and it's something that, you know, you're out. Right. So, you know, you're still in the team, but you're not playing very much. So a lot of those times, it made me question it. I think the first and biggest time that it was like I may not ever play again was in 2004. I was 24. I had a great year the year before. I hit over 300 and with power, and you know, I was playing well, and they put me on the Phantom DL at 24.
Yeah, that's a bad sign.
And to make matters worse, they sent me back to short season, which at 24 is
it's not
against the rules, but they can't have a certain amount of people over the age of 22, or else teams would just stash players there. So I ended up going back there and to a league I had hit over 300 in, had done well in, and I wasn't playing. And my dad picked me up. He was on a business trip up in that area. Just ironically, the day we landed and got to the field, and I got my bags off of the bus, and I said, I told him it was my birthday, and I was like, just take me home. I was married. You know, it was something that I felt like I could play, but it was like this is pointless. You know, they're gonna release me after the new draft picks come. Yeah. So why not just go out on my own accord and see what happens? And he was like, well, let's go to eat and we can talk about it over dinner. And you know, by that time he had walked me off the ledge, and so it was something that I was, you know, grateful for that time.
Yeah, you got to look back on that a lot.
I definitely do. And I think it's helped me appreciate. I don't think so. I know it's helped me appreciate every day here, and I don't take it for granted.
What are some of the odd jobs? I've read about a construction job where you may have had an accident with a nail gun. Some of the things you've done to try to supplement your income as you've come through the minors. Also, I saw some TV work that you did. Well, I'll let you tell me about that. But first, this construction job, you actually injured yourself with a nail gun.
That was the closest call. I fell off a ladder one time. You know, you're trying to get your work done. You're trying to do it efficiently. And part of efficiency is speed.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
You know, when you're framing, you don't get paid by the hour. You get paid by the production. So it's, I mean, I got paid by the hour, but my boss got paid by production. So it was time to get going. And, you know, I was nailing together a wall. Building a wall on the ground and just nailing in the top plate of the wall. And I'm speaking construction terms, so people don't understand construction terms. Sorry, but
I can't even fix a door in my house. So.
I put the bottom nail in, and then I put the top nail in with a nail gun, and the top nail hit a knot, and it like shot right out, and it hit right on the outside part of my index finger. All my catching hand.
Yeah.
I think it was 9 days before spring training was supposed to start.
Oh, no.
And so I mean, I looked down and I see it. It didn't go all the way in, but I looked down at my hand and it is on fire.
Yeah.
And I can see white in my hand, like where the bone is.
Right,
it
yeah.
ripped through there, and then the blood just started pouring out.
Oh my gosh.
By the end of that night, the whole inside of my palm all the way to my pinky knuckle was all swollen. I couldn't hold a bat. I couldn't. X-rays were negative. Everything. I got a tetanus shot.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm not going to call them and be like, "Hey guys, you know I hurt my hand." You know, I don't think that was going to be the thing that they were really looking forward to. So
you cut
it
out.
By the grace of God, I was able to catch bullpens.
Yep.
9-10 days later, so it was. I was
it's
very
amazing
fortunate.
To think how that if that injury doesn't heal, how the trajectory changes. There's so much to that.
I'd get an after-school job.
Yeah. And then I think you're in Philadelphia when you did this advertisement where you're talking to a cartoon turkey. You were a meat pitch man for a while. How'd you get connected with that?
It's actually my dad's company.
Oh,
my
really?
Dad,
okay.
My dad and his partner, his business partner came up with the idea that I was playing in Philly, and I'm from Philly, and
yep.
So there's the connection there, and so I guess I was a recognizable face. They were like, well, they never did any kind of advertising, up to that point, they had not done no commercials.
Sure, okay.
And I was like, well, I'm not going to do it if it's something super terrible. I said, I'll do corny.
Yeah.
I'll do corny for sure.
That was, so it was good production then.
They came up with it, and I really thought they did an awesome job. I would love to do more. You know, I'm not saying I'm Peyton Manning, but I will definitely, as long as there's no green screens,
yep,
I'm good to go. It's a real set. I need real actors, all that stuff. So it's,
business owners of Milwaukee, be on alert that Aircrats will do TV.
I will.
So you've told this story, I'm sure, a lot. The AAA All-Star Game is where you learned you were getting called up to the big leagues for the first time. Got taken out in the middle of the game to be informed of that. Take me through that moment. I'm sure that was very memorable.
It was definitely very memorable, and it turned out to be a blessing that I didn't need to call, because when you spend more and more time in the minor leagues and you get to know people, they're like, oh, man, you got to call me when you get called up. I hope you get called. You know, all this stuff. I'm like, I'll call you. Well, that list had grown way too big.
Yeah.
So they all saw it firsthand on TV, but it was something that I'd gotten to go to the All-Star Game, and I'd actually gone to the game the year before and won the MVP of the game.
Right.
And so in my head, that's all I'm thinking. It's like, hey, you know, give me one shot to put the team up or hit another homer in the game, and you know, I want to win the MVP again. And I had actually known that there was a catcher that had gotten sent down before the All-Star break, the last day of the All-Star break, and so I was like, okay, well, maybe there's a possibility that I could get called up. But there's also a guy in Double-A at the time who had big league time that was hitting like 330 at the time.
Yeah.
I was hitting well, but you know, he had big league time, and as far as my career had gone, it was always, they were always choosing the guy with big league time.
Sure,
it was like, well, you don't have any experience. Well, how am I supposed to get it if I don't, one of those things. So it was something that was, I'll never forget it. And obviously it's on the highlight film of my career for sure to get called up that way. And it's something that, you know, I see a guy like Nate Orff last night gets his call up after so long in the minor leagues. And
to be fair, he did not wait as long as you did. You were 30, he was 28, so.
No doubt. But it just shows you that the game, one, isn't going to make any stipulation for anybody, but the game also allows for hard work. And I think it's a credit to Nate that he's worked hard and he's put himself in this position to have an opportunity to be in the big leagues.
Yeah. So not only do you catch, you pitch, as we saw a couple nights ago. That's not the first time you pitched in your career. Is that something you wanted to do? I don't know if you, when I think it was Philly when you first got on the mound. Was that something you wanted to do and just got the opportunity, or was it pure desperation at that moment?
It's pure desperation. They're not hoping I get in the game. That's
no,
for sure.
I don't.
But it's something that is, they're not throwing the best player out there to pitch.
Right.
but it needs to be done. You know, it's something that needs to be done, and it's something that hopefully set us up for even last night's game. You know, have guys fresh. Could Corey have come in and pitched that inning that I pitched? Absolutely. Sure. Could one of our other pitchers? For sure. But to keep those guys fresh in a game like that, and it's hard because you never we prepare so much to win, we never want to give up.
No, I know.
And in a sense, it feels like you're kind of giving up when that happens. But
you're not giving
you're
up
also
the next day.
Seeing exactly. You're also seeing the bigger picture that you want to win today's game. You also want to win tomorrow, and you also so in that sense, I take pride in the fact that I can come in there and help our.
Yeah,
help our pitchers out in that sense.
How do you get comfortable? You've bounced around so much, had little stints in the big leagues, longer stints in the big leagues. Do you get comfortable, or I mean, you must have that skill somewhere where you're able to hit even though you have no idea what tomorrow brings.
I don't get comfortable. I think when you get comfortable, you get complacent, and you're gone.
Yeah.
So I think it's something that the guys here have made it a incredibly comfortable transition for us. And so that I give all them the credit for that. But my work daily isn't going to change whether I'm in AAA or whether I'm in the big leagues or whether I'm in the big leagues in Milwaukee or the big leagues in New York. You know, I have goals at the beginning of the season that are team goals, but I understand that those same goals can be accomplished with the new team that I'm with. I want to make it to the playoffs and get another World Series ring. You know, and there's nothing that is going to deter me from that. And my work every day is for that. You know, today I'm catching. Tomorrow I might not. There's something I can do each of those days that is going to completely help us reach those goals, no matter if I'm on this team, if I'm on AAA team in Scranton, whether I'm on big league team in New York. You know, and people won't ever look to Eric Kratz as fans and say, he really helped us. He really helped make game 7 last year of the ALCS. He only had 2 at-bats last year. You know, no, that's not what I'm there for. I'm there for the guys on that team to help them accomplish that goal along with me. No matter how much I'm actually on the field. It could be more, it could be less. It could be in a situation that nobody predicted, but if I'm not ready for it, whose fault is it?
Yeah.
It's not, well, you guys didn't like me before. No, like, what? Like, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. And I'm going to do what I can, whether that's being on the field or not being on the field. So, comfort-wise, my comfort is being here and watching our team win. Whether it's me catching the last strike, getting the walk-off, or walking out there and high-fiving after a walk-off last night.
All right, so last question. 3 best pitchers you've seen. You've caught a lot of them over the course of your career. Who were some of the best?
I'll go 3-1.
All right.
Third, I would have to say Roy Halladay.
Okay, that's a good one.
He was...
Man, he's third on the list, so that's a pretty good list.
Third on the list. And not necessarily that the other guys are better pitchers than him. It's just he was an incredible worker. He was an incredible teammate and how he prepared. He really showed me how to prepare to win every day and not be distracted by so much distractions that are in the big leagues.
Awesome.
Based on the time that I caught him, Cliff Lee's second.
Okay, yep. He was dominant
and
for a stretch.
He was in there and he was just one of those guys that was able to come out every day, and the times that I caught him, he was going to be the same exact guy.
Yeah.
And that's something that is consistency in the game of baseball is something that is, for me, it's priceless. Yeah. So it's something that's awesome to be a part of and be a part of, you know, a team that has a guy like that on it. And the best pitcher that I ever caught, because I couldn't catch myself.
Yes.
Wade Davis.
Wade Davis, all right.
Wade Davis in 2014, I think.
Okay.
I think it was until... Now, granted, I was Salvador Perez's backup,
right.
So
yeah,
it's really not catching a lot.
Yes.
I more caught him in the bullpen and watched him pitch. But
an amazing Royals team, very good team.
And he later on became the notoriety, the pitcher that he is now.
Yeah.
You know. But that year, I think, may have been his most dominant year. I mean, he gave up his first extra base hit in August, and it was a jam job to left field that fell in front. The guy beat it out to second base. I mean, it was incredible. And he wasn't a starter, so it's hard to compare him to starters. But as far as execution and stuff-wise, that year I have never caught somebody that was dominant.
All right. Well, I really appreciate the time. Thank you so much, Eric.
No doubt.
That'll do it for this edition of the Brewers Journal Sentinel podcast. I think I misspoke earlier. I didn't mention Lorenzo Cain had been also activated off the DL. That was part of the roster flurry on Sunday morning. Had alluded to that earlier, that he had come off the DL and, of course, is now a Major League All-Star. Hope you enjoyed the conversation with Eric Kratz as well, and hearing from all the guys who are headed to Washington, D.C. next week, Tuesday, for the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. We should have another podcast before that game. Tom Hodricourt, Todd Rosiak will be back to chat about the state of the Brewers at the All-Star break. Once again, we head into another week with the Brewers in first place. They are 18 games above 500. That's as good as they've been all season long. They are in first place in the National League Central, only a game and a half ahead of those pesky Cubs who keep finding ways to win and keep the pressure on the Brewers. But when you win 6-7 on a homestand, what more can you say? That's just a tremendous showing. The Brewers are doing everything they can to make sure they are in position to make a playoff run at the end of the season. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. We'll chat with you again real soon.